Sometimes I have definitions that vary from one of them to the other. And unless you find what he means by his definition, it is hard to guess.
Some
Nurses
that are heavier on you than other Sunnahs?
No, it may be what we said earlier, that a Sunnah as a whole has wajibat, has obligations, and has recommendations. That's what it seems from the first hearing this expression, but we need to see some examples to know if this is exactly what is meant. Allahu a'lam. So what was your question, Khalid?
I forgot that.
Okay. Khair, inshallah. Maybe you'll remember it. Okay, so we continue now with our discussion of from this book of... We should have we known that you are coming from Egypt, we should have asked you to bring us a copies of this book.
Yeah, in fact I have that book.
You have it?
Yeah.
That's a good short, you know, brief book on the subject of fiqh.
Yeah,
no. What's your name?
Ahmed.
Ahmed? Okay, what's your name? What's your question?
Visiting from Arabian Mosque.
Hayyaka Allah.
I'm part of the Prophet Sallallahu
Alaihi Wasallam.
Raise his hand up. When he did it while he was.
After he got up from Rukua, he raised his hands. Yeah.
The part of what he
No, we discussed this before, but the way you raise your hands is raise them facing the Qibla to the level of your shoulders or the level of your ears, facing the Qibla with them. Okay? And your fingers are not together, put together like this, nor spread like this, but somewhere in between. Okay? Okay.
You mentioned that raising the hands would not be wajib before. It is a sunnah, but it's not part. Is there a hadith of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that mentioned where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to pray as I pray?
To pray as I pray.
Since he said that, would that make it wajib? Because he gave a commandment to pray as I pray?
Yeah, well, I don't think so, not in every detail. Because you have to go to the specific actions of the prayer, you have to go to the specific details. But in general, I mean, if he said, pray like you saw me or as you saw me pray. Now, that doesn't mean that every single detail that he did, even we have to breathe the same number, take the same number of breaths that he took, and inhale the same number and exhale the same number and so on. Nobody says that. So there is a limit, a line where things are obligatory to follow him with, and things that are recommended, and things that are optional, and things that are not required at all. So where to put the lines, it comes from the other texts. And that is why how the scholars classified his sunnah of the prayer into wajib, rukun, shart rukun, wajib, and mustahab or voluntary deed, and so on. Okay, so now we continue and we go over al adhkar wal adiyatu al mashru'atu ba'd al salah. Now we finished the prayer yesterday, and now we go to what you say after the prayer. Now these, I don't think they are even covered in the Prophet's prayer described, because it's supposed to be, the Prophet's prayer described is supposed to be from takbir to taslim. So it covers only the prayer from its beginning to its end, but it doesn't go beyond that. So to go beyond that, you have to go to other books, and there are some books on adhkar, on supplications, like authentic supplications, like some other books that are available in English, or you can go to the books of hadith like Bukhari and Muslim, and so on, to find some of them. So we go over them quickly because there is no time to transliterate them and memorize them and so on here, but just to have an idea what there is, and inshallah I leave it to everyone to go and read and memorize some of them at a time. Like every time you can memorize one and practice it, and then once you know it, then you can memorize another one. ثوبان رضي الله عنه said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا انصرف من صلاته استغفر ثلاثة وقال اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت ذا الجلال والإكرام. قال الوليد فقلت للأوزاعي أو الأوزاعي كيف الاستغفار؟ قال تقول استغفر الله استغفر الله. Which means that he said, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم finished his prayer, he used to say استغفار 3 times, seek forgiveness, refuge in Allah or protection from Allah. No, ask for Allah for forgiveness 3 times, and then اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام وتباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أو ذا الجلال والإكرام. Now Al-Walid, one who was reporting this from Al-Awza'i, and Al-Awza'i is a tabi'i who was reporting the hadith, asked him, how is this istighfar done? And he said, it is by saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. So this is the explanation, and this explanation of Rawi al-Hadith, the one who narrates the hadith, is considered to be of the best explanations, because as the rule goes, the fiqh rules, الراوي أدرى بمروياته, the one who reports something, he knows better the meaning of his what he is reporting than others normally. So that's the understanding of Imam al-Awza'i, and he is one of the great scholars of Tabi'in. So to say anything other than that is a bid'ah, and we see this bid'ah practiced in many Muslim countries, like in Lebanon and Syria and some other Mid-Eastern countries. I don't know in Egypt if they do that too. Probably they do. They say Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Instead of Astaghfirullah only, they say Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayy al-Qayyum wa atubu ilayh. For Istighfar, they say this long statement 3 times. And then Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. They add to it. They say, first they proceed by saying Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. This statement that has no basis in the sunnah. No. They say things that I have to remember. I'm not sure now. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika. No, that probably has a basis. We come to it in a little bit. But Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam wa tabarakta wa ta'alayta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. They say it 7 times, and it is said only once. And other things that they add. So the sunnah is when you finish the prayer to say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. I ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah ask for forgiveness 3 times. And then, oh Allah, you are the salam, the peace. And from you is the peace. Tabarakta wa ta'alayt. Blessed are you. Tabarakta. I'm not saying what they say. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Blessed are you, the one of jalal, which means majesty, and ikram, which means like a dignity or honor. And this is the first hadith, and this what you say right after the salam, it is recorded by Muslim and others, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. The second hadith is reported by Abu Zubayr, he radiallahu anhu, he said, كان يقول في دبر كل صلاة يسلم لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. وقال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يهلل بهن دبر كل صلاة. This is in Sahih Muslim and Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i. Which means that he used to say this, Abu Zubair, and then he reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say them after the prayer. And what are they? لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. One time. There are some other reports which say 3 times, and other reports which say it 10 times after Fajr and Maghrib prayer, this part of it. And then لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. This has a lot of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I don't think we have, if we start explaining the meaning of this hadith, it will take us the rest of the time or more actually, because it has lots of meaning. And again, I recommend to go to the books of hadith like Sahih Muslim or others where this hadith is discussed. And then وَعَنْ وَرَادْ مَوْلَى الْمُغِيرَةِ بْنِ شَعْبَةِ كَتَبْ قَالْ كَتَبَ الْمُغِيرَةُ بْنِ شَعْبَةِ إِلَى مَعَاوِيَةَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ إِذَا فَرَغَ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ قَالْ لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. Which means this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Mughira bin Shu'bah wrote a letter to Muawiyah, that is during his rule, that saying that when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم finished his prayer, he used to say لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. This is the same as in the previous hadith. Now he added to it اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. Okay. Now some scholars tell us to combine these two because they have an overlap. And if you combine the two, assuming that one of the Sahaba remembered part of it and the other remembered part, or heard part and the other heard the other part, and they heard the common part together, then you can combine them and say, you know, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. This is from the second one. Then from the first one, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة والفضل وله الثناء الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. So that combines both of these ahadith, which you find them in Bukhari and Muslim as I said. وإن كان ابن عجو عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال معقبات لا يخيب قائلهن أو فاعلهن فاعلهن 33 تسبيحة وثلاث وثلاثون تحميدة وأربع وثلاثون تكبيرة في دبر كل صلاة. Which means there are things that you do at the end. معقبات means followers, things that you follow up after the prayer, that whoever does them or say them, he is never a loser, he never loses. And these are to say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. And on the other hand, this hadith is in Muslim and Tirmidhi and Nasai. On the other hand, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported a similar hadith that you find it also in Sahih Muslim, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says Subhanallah after every prayer 33 times, and Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 times, that makes 99. And then to complete the 100, if he says لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير, then all of his sins will be forgiven, even if they were as much as the foam that floats on the surface of the sea. You know, when the waves come and they recede and they fall and recede, you see lots of foam on the surface, lots and lots of it. So even if the person's sins are as many, by saying this, these adhkar, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive his sins. Naam, adhkar. Adhkar means dhikr. And also this hadith reported by Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day held his hand and he said to him, Ya Mu'az, wallahi inni la uhibbuk. Oh Mu'az, by Allah, I indeed love you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to Mu'az. فَقُلْتُ بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ. So Mu'az responded by saying, may, by Allah, may my mother and father be a sacrifice for you, Allah Messenger. And by Allah, I indeed love you. So he said, قَالَ يَا مُعَاذ إِنِّي أُوصِيكَ لَا تَدَعَنَّ أَن تَقُولَ دُبَرَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ وَشُكْرِكَ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. O Mu'adh, I give you an advice. I remind you, never drop to saying after every prayer, O Allah, help me. This is the meaning. Allahumma inni, O Allah, help me to remember you, to be grateful to you, and to worship you in the proper way. Anni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. So this is, and this is recorded by Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i, but it's an authentic hadith, a well-known authentic hadith.
Can you say that again, please?
What?
Can you say that phrase again?
Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me to mention you or to remember you and thank you or be grateful to you and to worship you in the correct way or in the proper way. And وياك, Abu Umama رضي الله عنه reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من قرأ آية الكرسي دور كل صلاة مكتوبة لم يمنعه من دخول الجنة إلا أن يموت. Whoever recites Ayat al-Kursi after every prescribed prayer, that is the fard prayer, the obligatory prayer, nothing would prevent him from entering Jannah but death, which means that is the only thing that is between him and getting into Jannah. As soon as he dies, he'll be in Jannah, that is. This hadith is recorded by Tabarani and it's authentic. You find in Sahih al-Jami' by Albani. And then Uqba bin Amir radiyallahu anhu reported, said, أمرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أقرأ بالمعوذات دبر كل صلاة. Which means Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded me to read the معوذات after every prayer. This is Abu Dawood and Nasa'i. And معوذات is either قل هو الله قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس or that plus قل هو الله أحد. So, and there is actually one of the reports of the previous hadith which mentions قل هو الله أحد. So that supports this to say, to mean that you say all three of them, قل هو الله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق and قل أعوذ برب الناس after every prayer. And then the eighth and last in regard to these adhkar is reported by Salama radiallahu anha that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say after he prayed the morning prayer and after taslim, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutaqabbala. O Allah, I ask you a beneficent knowledge and a good sustenance and an acceptable deed. That is after the subah, after the morning prayer. He used to say this after he finished the morning prayer. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutaqabbala. Now to summarize, you know, and since some of them seem to mention the dhikr right after the prayer, some of these adhkar immediately after the prayer, others seem to mention them after the prayer but not immediately. So what we, one of the recommended ways that we learned from the scholars like Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah is to start by after the finishing the prayer, Astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Rabbi, there's another one he didn't mention here. اللهم إني على ذكرك وشكري حسن عبادتك. This is the one by Mu'az. There is one that he did not bring here, which is رب قني عذابك يوم تبعث عبادك. رب قني عذابك يوم تبعث عبادك, which means O Allah, O my Lord, protect me from your punishment on the day when you resurrect your servants. After that, one could say لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, لا إله إلا الله, ولا نعبد إلا إياه, نعم الفضل والسلام الحسن والسلام عليكم. لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. And after he finishes that, say سبحان الله 33 times, الحمد لله 33 times, and الله أكبر 33 times. And after he finishes those, complete the 100 by saying لا إله إلا الله, again the one that you said before, لا إله الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. And after that you say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and you read آية الكرسي, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم, to the end of it, and then بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد, and then بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق, and then بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس. These three surah. Now after morning and maghrib prayer, it is recommended to say these mu'awwidhat three times instead of one time. Say them three times instead of one time. So after you finish ayatul kursi, you read the mu'awwidhat three times each. And what else? Also, it is recommended after morning and maghrib prayer to say لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير 10 times after morning and maghrib prayers. And it is recommended to say them before you move from your place, before you unbend your knees to get up or change your sitting, while you are sitting in your sitting after the prayer, to say these tahleelat or la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu al-mulku wa al-hamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir 10 times. And there is a great reward for it that inshallah we can cover in some other on some other occasion. The way to say tasbih, you get different advices from the ulama, from the scholars. One of them is based on the description of the way the Prophet ﷺ made tasbih before going to sleep. كان يعقد التسبيح بيمينه. He used to tie to knot tasbih with his right hand. So, it is recommended to use the right hand for that. And the way you count so that you do not mix up the number is by saying, use one of your fingers, each one count three times. Like if you do this, subhanAllah three times, and then 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 start over. Three, 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 three. How many are these? 30. You have 10 times 3, 30. So all you need is three more on one of the fingers, and that's it, that's 33. And then you do the same with Alhamdulillah, the same with Allahu Akbar. So inshallah now we go to another subject regarding the prayer, which is the disapproved acts in the prayer. What is disapproved to do in the prayer? ما يكره فعله في الصلاة. First, العبث بالثوب أو البدن لغير حاجة عن معيقب أو معيقيب أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الرجل يسوي التراب حين يسجد إن كنت فاعلا فواحدة. Which means to play for a person to play with his clothes or with his body for no reason, like touch himself, fix his clothes, fix his beard, etc., without a reason. Huh? His tie, his necktie, if he's wearing a tie. Okay. So to do that without a reason is, without a need rather, is disapproved. And once, as is reported by Mu'ayqib, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is in Bukhari Muslim, saw a man cleaning or clearing the dirt in front of him, The dead, I mean the soil, cleaning the soil in front of him when he made sujood. So he said, if you have to do it only once. Which means don't make it a practice to do it every time you make sujood and so on. So it's not good to play in the prayer, to do actions of abath. Actions of abath. What is abath in English?
Abath is English, stop.
But do you have one single word for it? Abath means to do something.
We have some lame words.
It's opposite to seriousness, okay? You have to be serious in the prayer. So you not to do things that contradict the seriousness of the prayer. Abath. As Allah Azza wa Jal, there is mentioned in the Quran that Allah did not create the creation abatha. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think that we created you jokingly or playfully without a reason? No, there was a reason for that. And then another thing this approved in the prayer is al-ikhtisar, وَهُوَ يَضَعُ الْمُصَلِّ يَدَهُ عَلَى خَاصِرَتِهِ. For the person to put his hands on his side instead of putting it on the middle of his chest. Naha Abu Hurairah reported that Rasulullah ﷺ prohibited that a man would pray mukhtasira, putting his hand on his khasira, which means on his side here. Is this the name for it, side, or you have a better name for it? Okay.
What about, I see some people, they don't put it on the side, but they put it like over here, right on the...
Same thing, it's wrong. The way they do it, I asked one when I was a little boy, and I saw somebody doing this, said I put it on my heart, because that is where, the remembrance of Allah is, so he's supporting his heart or something. People, if they apply their wrong reason, they can come up with lots of bid'ah. You had something to say or ask? Okay. And then it is not permitted to raise the hands, it is disapproved to raise the eyes, look with the eyes to the sky. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ عَنْ رَفْعِهِمْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ عِنْدَ الدُّعَاءِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ أو لتخطفن أبصارهم السلام ورحمة الله. Which means some people should stop looking up in the prayer when they make dua in the prayer, or their eyesight will be taken away from them. This is also authentic. This is in Muslim, Sahih Muslim. The previous one is in Bukhari and Muslim. And then looking around for without reason or without need, Aisha radiallahu anha said that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about iltifatu fi salah, and iltifati fi salah, about yakhtilasun yakhtalisuhu shaytanu min al-abd, min salati al-abd, which means it is steal that the devil steals from the servant's prayer. So it is something that reduces the value of the prayer. And it is disapproved to look at anything that turns the person away from, or the person's heart away from the prayer. An-nazar ila ma yulhi. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed facing a curtain which had marks in it, designs in it, a'lam. فقال شغلتني أعلام هذه اذهبوا بها إلى أبي جهم وأتوني بأنبجانيته. Which means this has turned me away or interrupted, disrupted, etc. my prayer. So take it away, give it to somebody named Abu Jahm and give me his Anbajaniya, which means a garment instead of it which is thick and doesn't have any of these kinds of markings. Now some people say, why did he send it to Abu Jahm? Is it okay for Abu Jahm to use it? And Allahu A'lam, what is the purpose of that? Probably Abu Jahm had many garments, and it could be that he is a person who trades with these things and he can have different uses for them. Allahu A'lam. And it doesn't mean that if he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not want to use something and it interrupted him in his prayer or turned him away from his prayer, that that would not affect the other people in the same way. So it doesn't mean that he is giving it to somebody to harm him. Rather, what we believe is that there is a reason. I mean, Abu Jahm could use it for other things, could have other uses for it. And other things that are not allowed or disapproved in the prayer is as-sadl. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an as-sadl fi as-salah wa an yughatti ar-rajul fa, which means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited lowering the garment in the prayer and that a man would cover his mouth. Shams al-Haq, Shams al-Haq Abad, I think, or Abadi his name is, he's an Indian scholar who wrote Aun al-Ma'bud fi Sharh Sunan Abi Dawood. The main available explanation of Abu Dawood, he said that al-Khattabi said as-sadlu irsalu al-thawbi hatta yusib al-ard, it is to lower the garment until it touches the ground. And in Nayl al-Awtar he said as-sadlu isbalu al-rajuli thawbahu min ghayri an yadumma janibayhi bayna yadayhi, it is for the person to let his garment, you know, the garment means the that you tie around your middle, so to make it loose without turning the sides over each other so that it would touch the ground in the middle. And this applies, well, the scholars of language have different understandings of this, and probably most of it is not applicable to most of us who do not use that kind of garments in our time. And then what is also disapproved is to yawn in the prayer. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said التثاؤب في الصلاة من الشيطان فإذا تثاؤب أحدكم فليكذب ما استطاع. التثاؤب في الصلاة من الشيطان فإذا تثاؤب أحدكم فليكذب ما استطاع, which means yawning in the prayer is from the devil. So if one of you yawns, let him stop it as much as he can. Let him force himself to stop it. No, there is no report at all saying that you say that. So the people who say it, it is because it says from Shaitan, they conclude therefore we should say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, but there is no proof for it, that, or no evidence that it used to be done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no, I don't know of any hadith in that regard. And Sheikh Albani considers it bid'ah to say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem when you yawn. So, but if there is an authentic hadith that you find, whether Sheikh Albani or anybody else, I mean, nobody rejects the authentic hadith that that brings a sunnah, inshallah. So inshallah we will benefit from it if you know of a hadith like that. No? Sheikh Osama Qusi says so.
Putting the left hand over the mouth.
Putting the hand over the mouth, there is a command to do that, yeah. So you stop it as much as you can in the prayer without putting the hand, if you can. If you find that it is getting out of control, then you stop it with your hand, as you do outside the prayer. But in the prayer, one has to limit his motion because of what we read earlier, and also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uskum fi salatik," "Uskum fi salatik," which means be quiet in your prayer, be sakin, which means serene, peaceful, and, which means don't move without reason. Huh? Still, be still in your prayer. That's it. Be still in your prayer. So you know, sometimes you pray next to some people in some countries, and you find that in the prayer they do this and look here in their hand, and every rak'ah they fix their aba'ah, their what you call it, cloak, and Check the time, many things. So I mean, you start doubting. I really start doubting sometimes when I pray next to some of these people whether I know the prayer or I have missed a few things that they know better. Because they do it in such a normal way that you think that it is normal to do it. It is acceptable to do it. And then it is disapproved to spit in the direction of the Qibla or on your right hand, towards your right hand, in the prayer. Now, of course, in the masjid, I think it will be disapproved to spit in either place, because it will stick to the carpet, and you cannot bury it in the carpet, so you'll be harming the Muslims by that. But this is talking about praying in place where it is ground and soil and dirt and so on.
What about light spitting? A'udhu billahi spit three times.
Yeah, that's on your left side, and it's light spitting that doesn't reach the ground actually.
That even you can do on the carpet, right?
It shouldn't reach the carpet actually. It's not, you know, substantial to reach the carpet. Right. And then tashbikul asabi'a, it is not allowed to cross your fingers in the prayer, the fingers of your hand in the prayer. Kafu shari wa thawb, to stop or to tie your hair or your garments, like raise your sleeves or your garments specifically for the purpose of the prayer. So this is not allowed, and some reports say that they all make sujood with you, so do not stop them from doing that. And it is not allowed to pray while a person needs to go to the toilet for either of the two reasons. No prayer in the presence of food or the two filthy things the Prophet ﷺ called them are pushing him, impelling him to go and, you know, fulfill that need. So if a person is under that effect of either of these two things, then he will not be able to put his heart into his prayer. And then it is not permitted to put the hands, all the whole hand and arm, on the ground in sujood. As we said, the hand should be raised like this, with only the palm of the hand on the ground. And finally, it is not allowed to go ahead of the imam in the prayer, but one should always be following the imam. So let's, just for the sake of recording, go quickly, inshallah, review quickly what we said so far. In 2 minutes, what we said in half an hour, or a little over. So we said that going ahead of the imam, that Abu Huraira reported that Prophet ﷺ said, doesn't one of you fear that if he raises his head before the imam, that his head will turn into the head of a donkey, or his appearance will be the appearance of a donkey? This hadith is muttafaq alayh. Things that are permissible in the prayer, and this is a quick review, we have dealt with this in a little more depth. First, to walk for a need, and this is especially in the sunnah prayer, or the evidence that is brought of the Prophet ﷺ walking in his prayer to open the door for Aisha, was in a sunnah or voluntary prayer. And then to carry a child while praying, like Rasulullah ﷺ carried Umama, the daughter of his daughter Zainab, from her husband Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'ah. And the third thing is to kill snakes or scorpions, if one has to do that while praying, because Rasulullah ﷺ commanded doing that. And fourthly, to look sideways and make a movement that is necessary to make the people understand something that has to be related to them, like when he said, pointed to the people to sit down while he was praying. While he was sitting in the prayer, so that they would sit behind him instead of being standing. And the fifth is to spit into a handkerchief or a tissue or something like that, because of the hadith of Jabir that Rasulullah said, do not spit on your right hand side or in the direction of Qibla while you are praying, but if you have to, then spit to your left side under your feet, and if you cannot control it, then spit into your garment. And he showed how you do it by folding your garment while you are praying. And then pointing, the sixth thing is to respond to the salam. If people come to you and say salam, to respond to their salam with the motion of the, with the movement of the hand. And we said that is by raising the hand slightly with the inside of the palm of the hand pointing downwards, and the hand pointing, up. So the hand is level and the inside of it pointing down, the right hand. What?
Who narrated that hadith?
This hadith is reported by Abdullah bin Umar, and it is recorded by Abu Dawood. It is authentic. What I was saying is that this is an example of the ahadith where a companion reports from another companion. Like here, Abdullah bin Umar is reporting from Bilal radiallahu anhuma, wa anhum. Bilal being, of course, an older companion of the Prophet ﷺ than Abdullah bin Umar. Abdullah bin Umar, when the Prophet ﷺ died, he was approximately 20 years old. So 20, 22 at most.
And your question, قتل صبان أو
no.
In the Salah.
No.
And you have عندك هذا الموز الصغيرة.
ما أدري يعني. If you have a knife or something, that's fine يعني. If you have a gun, and shoot it. Otherwise, any tool that you have. Usually people, they probably have their swords or something like that. Yeah, small dagger, maybe. Step on it with your... Yeah? I may do that too. But he commanded to kill the two black ones in the prayer, the scorpion and the snake. Okay, the seventh thing is تسبيح الرجال وتصفيق النساء للأمر يحدث في الصلاة. For the men to say Subhanallah and for the women to clap their hands if there is something that comes up in the prayer that needs to warn the Imam about or something like this. Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'di radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ مَا لَكُمْ حِينَ نَابَكُمْ شَيْءٌ فِي الصَّلَاةِ أَخَذْتُمْ فِي التَّصْفِيقِ إِنَّمَا التَّصْفِيقُ لِلنِّسَاءِ مَنْ نَابَهُ شَيْءٌ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلْيَكُلْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْمَعُهُ أَحَدٌ حِينَ يَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا التفت. This hadith muttafaq alayh, Bukhari and Muslim. We went over it, I believe, before in the previous discussion. It says, O people, what is with you that when something happens to you during the prayer, you start clapping your hands? Clapping is only for women. Whoever something comes up for him in the prayer, something that needs to warn about, let him say Subhanallah, because then no one hears him saying Subhanallah but looks around. Like they want to warn somebody about something, saying Subhanallah, he's supposed to look around or try to find out what is the reason for Subhanallah if he cannot guess it.
I'm seeing the people in the Salah, if the Imam is this correct?
Yeah, that's part of it. That if something comes up, say Subhanallah to warn the Imam. Now, if the Imam has made a mistake, then he will, when we read this, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to the, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to resolve a dispute that was taking place between two groups of Muslims, or a tribe, between the members of a tribe of Muslims in the suburbs of Al-Madinah. So he went and he stayed for very long, so that the prayer time came and he was not there, so they ask Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Then when Abu Bakr started the prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. So the people started clapping their hands to let Abu Bakr know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is here. But so Abu Bakr looked around and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he moved back, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to him to continue, but he did not. He still stepped back, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came forward and he led the prayer. After that, he said this. He said, "O people, why, when something happens in the prayer, you say you clap your hands? Say Subhanallah, because then whoever hears Subhanallah is supposed to look and see what is the problem. Now, if one can find out what is, or know why they are saying Subhanallah without looking around, like if the Imam made a mistake and then by saying Subhanallah that alerted him to the mistake, and that's enough. If he cannot, then he is supposed to look around, and he is allowed to look around by the text of this hadith. Somebody maybe is coming to kill him, and they are saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So he looks and he sees the one who is killing him, and he does something about it, like run away or whatever. Fight, whatever. You know, it reminds of the Sahaba when Umar and Ali radiallahu anhuma, when they were hit while they were praying, and it said that they were in sujood, at least one of them, maybe both of them. Then what is permissible in the prayer is to correct the Imam in his reading. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once prayed صَلَّى صَلَاةً فَقَرَأَ فِيهَا فَلُبِثَ عَلَيْهِ. He prayed a prayer, and in the prayer he mixed up in his recitation. فَلَمَّا صَرَفَ قَالَ لِأُبَيْ أَصَلَّيْتَ مَعَنَا. After he finished, he looked at Ubay and he said, "Were you praying with us?" قَالَ نَعَمْ. He said, "Yes." He said, فَمَا مَنَعَكَ أو فَمَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَفْتَحَ عَلَيْ, or something like that, which means, what prevented you from correcting me or telling me what to read? So this is to show that it is permissible for a person praying behind the Imam to correct the Imam in the prayer, as he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who knows the Quran best of this ummah, he asked one of his companions, who was among the best of the readers of the Quran, Ubay bin Ka'b, he asked him to correct the recitation for him, the mistake for him. Number 9, غمز رجل النائم. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كنت أمد رجلي في قبلة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يصلي, فإذا سجد غمزني فرفعتها, فإذا قام مددتها. To push the hand of a person who is sleeping, as Aisha reported that she sometimes when the Prophet ﷺ prayed at night, she would be sleeping in front of him, her feet in front of where his place of sujood is, in the direction of the Qibla. So when he made sujood, he would push her hand, a foot, and she would raise it, and he makes sujood, and then when he finishes sujood, she would put it back, relax it again. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. The one before it is in Abu Dawud, the one about Ubay ibn Ka'b. Also, it is permissible to fight against the one who tries to pass in front of the praying person. If he has a sutra and one tries to pass in front of the sutra, then it is permissible to push him away. As Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى شَيْءٍ يَسْتُرُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَأَرَادَ أَحَدٌ أَن يَجْتَازَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَلْيَدْفَعَ فِي نَحْرِهِ فَإِنْ أَبَى فَلْيُقَاتِلْهُ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ شَيْطَانٌ. This is recorded by Muslim, which means if one of you prays with a sutra, something covering him from the people, which means preventing marking where he's praying so that people do not pass in front of him, then if somebody tries to pass in front of him, which means between him and the sutra, then let him push him by his neck, push him away by his neck. And if he refuses, which means insists to pass in front of him, then let him fight with him, because he is a devil. Sahih. Yeah, we talked about this previously when we talked about the sutra, that the sutra applies to the imam but not to the other people. So the important thing is that the imam has a sutra, and the people praying behind him, if somebody passes in front of them, this is okay. Allahu alam. So and the only evidence for this is the hadith of Ibn Abbas when he was riding on his donkey between the lines in Mina, while people were praying behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Is an age required for this?
We talked about this also before. Tape number 7 of the set. The set is only 1999. That's that. what we said is that the Prophet ﷺ was praying, and a goat tried to pass in front of him, and he moved forward until his chest was against the wall, and the goat passed behind him, and then he moved back again. Which means that one should try not to let anyone or anything pass in front of him, even a child, if he can. I mean, but the children are, it is hard to deal with children, you know. Sometimes the a goat can behave better than a child. You know, I know children, my son Abdullah, when he was little, he would want to pass in front of me while I'm praying, and I would do that, you know, come close to the wall, and he starts crying, he wants to pass in front of me. He doesn't want to go around, he just wants to pass in front of me. So he starts pushing and crying until I move back and he passes in front of me.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the kids sometimes are, it's hard to you know, anticipate what they want to do. But you should try the same thing to prevent them from passing in front of you as much as possible. Mm-hmm. If they pass, they do not break the prayer, because we have seen what things break the prayer. But it is better not to allow anything or anyone to pass in front of you in the prayer.
Along the same lines, like when we're here and there's like small children and they walk in between,
mm-hmm.
like if we're standing next to each other and they try to walk in between you, do you...
Same thing. You're supposed to close the lines, but if you find them so much insisting, then...
Yeah, go between the
lines. Right. okay. Crying is permissible also in the prayer. Ali radiallahu anhu said, مَا كَانَ فِينَا فَارِسٌ يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ غَيْرَ الْمُقْدَادِ وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا وَمَا فِينَا إِلَّا نَائِمٌ إِلَّا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ يُصَلِّي وَيَبْكِي حَتَّى أَصْبَحَ. Which means, he is saying, Ali radiallahu anhu saying, there was no faris, no light among us on the day of Badr, other than Al-Muqdad. So which means Al-Muqdad was the best fighter during the Battle of Badr. And I have seen us, no, I can't remember right now who, what's his relationship. He's very related to Ali radiallahu anhu, but I cannot remember the exact relationship. Inshallah, I can look it up and give you a brief summary of his biography. So he says, and I have وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا, I have seen us, this is something like to say, I still remember, وَمَا فِينَا إِلَّا نَائِمْ, and there is no one among us but sleeping, which means all of them fell asleep. This is mentioned in the Quran, that Allah sent over them sleep to relax them, to reduce their anxiety before the beginning of the battle. This is in at the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal. And then except for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was under a tree, praying and crying until the morning, making dua all night long until the morning of the battle. And there are many, many narrations about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum crying in the prayer, weeping in the prayer, and so that you would hear a khaneen for them, which means like a muffled cry, a type of crying. Okay, now the last thing regarding prayer, what invalidates the prayer? We saw first the okay. First, we went over a description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And then after that, which was a brief description, then after that, we covered the pillars of the prayer, then the obligations or wajibat of the prayer, then the sunan of the prayer, the recommended acts for the prayer, and then and the sunan we divided them into fa'liya wa qawliya, sunan which has to do with actions and other sunan which have to do with state saying, things that you say. And then we covered fa'liya and qawliya. Fa'liya from fa'l, action, and qawliya from qawl, statement or saying. And then al-adhkar, we covered the adhkar that you say after the prayer, and then what is disliked or disapproved during the prayer, and then what is permissible in the prayer, and finally and this is the end of our discussion of the prayer itself, is what invalidates the prayer. What invalidates the prayer? The first thing that invalidates the prayer is to be sure of al-hadath, to be sure that one that he has broken his wudu, or al-hadath al-akbar. Yeah, to be sure of that. Like tayakkun al-hadath. Al-Abbad ibn Tamim al-Ammiya annahu shaka ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-rajul alladhi yukhayyalu ilayhi annahu yajidu shay'a fi s-salah فقال لا ينفتل أو لا ينصرف حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد ريحا. Which means somebody asked him about a man who imagined that he felt something in the prayer, and he's not sure if he broke his wudu or not. So he said, let him not leave, depart from the prayer until he hears a sound or smells something. That is for the case where he is in doubt, because it is clear how the question was given. Doesn't mean that always one, even if he's sure that he broke his wudu, he says, I didn't hear anything, I didn't smell anything. No, it is specifically talking about a person who is in doubt. Doubt comes to him. He is, paranoid about it. Or, as in one hadith, shaitan comes to him and makes him imagine things. Secondly, the second thing that invades the prayer is to leave a pillar of the prayer or a condition of the prayer intentionally and without an excuse. Because the Prophet ﷺ said to the person who did not pray correctly, al-musi'i salati, irja fasalli fa'innaka lam tusalli. When he did not pray properly, he told him, go back and pray because you did not pray. Which means your prayer did not count. It was invalid. That's what it means. وَلِأَمْرِهِ لِمَنْ رَأَى فِي ظَهْرِ قَدَمِهِ لَمْعَةً أَنْ يُعِيدَ الْوُدُوءَ وَالصَّلَاةَ. And then he saw a person.